Chapter 10. The final round of the Foundation Stage Tournament should have been a nervous affair for Lyndon, with his family's reputation and his own future at stake. The stage seemed broad as the entire valley, with no one but his opponent to share it, and the crowd's dull noise wavered between supportive cheers and mockery. But this round ended as all the others had. Lyndon drove his empty palm into the core of the girl across from him, folding her in half. She was almost as old as he was, and therefore only inches away from advancing to copper. But no one in all the clans trained to fight without their Madra. Despite having witnessed his previous matches, she still froze in horror after feeling her power abandon her, after tasting, for the length of one breath, the life of an unsouled. Lyndon pushed her off the stage and walked away before the elder could announce the results of the match. He was prepared for the jeers of those watching, the dark humor rising up in him again. But this time there was no scorn. There wasn't much applause either, a handful from the Wei clan, clapping slowly or voicing a few half-hearted words of praise, but the artists of Sacred Valley acknowledged victory above all else. Even when it tasted sour, even when they suspected him of cheating in some way, they still respected success. He glanced at the side of the stage, to the square beneath which his jar was buried. He hadn't been forced to really cheat. The reality slowly set in, like water seeping into soil. He'd won a tournament, even a small one, using actual sacred arts. He was a sacred artist, and all of Sacred Valley knew it. Lyndon almost walked straight into a barrel-chested man wearing robes of purple and gold shade silk. The patriarch of the Wei clan smiled at Lyndon through his silver mane.
"You have the congratulations of our clan, Wei Shi Lyndon. There is honor in overcoming a deficiency to achieve victory."
Resisting the urge to drop to his knees, Lyndon bowed at the waist, his fists pressed together in respect.
"This one does not deserve such kind words, Patriarch."
It was the first time the head of the Wei clan had ever addressed him directly. Cyrus rested a broad hand on Lyndon's shoulder.
"A sacred artist should never be so humble as to refuse what he has earned. You have earned victory today. Let that be enough, and return to your family with honor."
Lyndon hadn't spoken with the Patriarch before, and had only rumors to judge the man's character. But he could hear the unspoken message in Cyrus' words, and his joy dampened. Even the lingering cheers of the crowd faded in his ears.
"Your pardon, but this one is meant to exchange pointers with a senior disciple at the copper level."
Though Lyndon did not move his eyes from Wei Jin Cyrus' feet, he could feel the man's frown.
"Some of our guests from the schools were uncomfortable with your performance. It would ease them greatly if we could conclude our events today and begin anew with the copper fights tomorrow."
He meant that the elders from the schools had been offended by the sight of a 15-year-old unsouled claiming victory. His bet with the first elder would go unfulfilled, his test incomplete. Lyndon glanced up at the stands to try to catch a glimpse of the first elder's face, but the old man's seat was empty. No help there. The chance of real training was slipping from Lyndon's grasp, but he clawed desperately to keep it.
"Our honored guests from the four schools have yet to witness a true demonstration of our clan's sacred arts, Patriarch. When this one can compete with a copper from another clan, they will see the strength of the Wei clan. If they are then dissatisfied with this one's performance, this one will, of course, fully atone."
An unsettling pressure settled on the back of Lyndon's neck, like a snake sliding between his shoulder blades. The effect of Cyrus' irritation, nothing more, but it still pushed him toward the ground.
"I would not wager the honor of my clan on an unsouled."
Painful words, but Lyndon reminded himself they were fair.
"Give me some face, disciple, and renounce this exhibition. I do not forget my debts."
Thoughts of the parasite ring, still in the keeping of the Patriarch, flashed through Lyndon's head. He could take his cycling to the next level with such an artifact, perhaps enough to catch up with his peers. If he could leverage the Patriarch's debt to even borrow the ring, he could leave his current weakness behind. But he had no promise from the Patriarch. From the First Elder, he did. Lyndon weighed his own future against the honor of the Wei clan. He found the clan wanting. In one motion, Lyndon dropped to his knees and pressed his forehead against the ground.
"Your pardon, Patriarch, but this one must prepare for his exhibition match."
He squeezed his eyes shut, anticipating a wave of pain. As a ruler on the path of the White Fox, Cyrus could make him suffer hours of agony in seconds. He could force Lyndon to bow to his will, or even kill him outright. Instead, he walked away. At the sound of footsteps, Lyndon raised his head hopefully, squeezing a glimpse out of the corner of his eye. The patriarch was already signaling to the elder in charge of the tournament, waving him to continue. Lyndon shivered with the released pressure and let out a long, heavy breath. He wasn't sure where he had found the courage to defy his own clan's patriarch directly. But the first elder had promised him more. To travel his own path, Lyndon had to reach higher and farther than anyone else. Only then would he be able to hold himself with pride in Sacred Valley. Only when he was strong.
Due to a request from our honored ally of the Heaven's Glory School, there has been a slight change in the Foundation stage exhibition, the Way Elder announced, his voice carrying to every corner of the arena. The four illusory snow foxes turned toward him at once, as though he'd caught their attention. He'd certainly caught Lyndon's. The champion of the Foundation tournament, Wei Shi Lyndon, will immediately exchange pointers with a senior disciple. This will be an invaluable learning opportunity for both children and will allow the Foundation champion to test the limits of his potential.
Lyndon's spirit was strained and weak after almost a full day of exertion, and he doubted his ability to use the empty palm too many times in a row before he would have to rest. But all things considered, he was in good enough shape to fight. The patriarch wouldn't get him to surrender this easily.
And the champion's patriarch, Wei Jin Cyrus, has volunteered none other than his own grandson for this duty. Honorable sacred artists of all schools and clans, the Wei clan presents to you Wei Jin Amon.
Suddenly, surrender sounded like a much more appealing option. Black hair tied back and spear propped over his shoulder, Amon leaped from the box at the top of the arena all the way down to the stage. He landed with barely a flex of his knees, iron badge swinging against his chest.
Wei Shi Lyndon, he announced, his voice full and rich. I invite you onto the stage that we might learn from one another.
The Hornets.
They were his only chance of making it off that stage. Having to fight against an unsold was an insult to Amon, and he would take it out on Lyndon personally. If Lyndon could make it back to his seat with only a pair of limbs broken, he would count himself lucky. He scarcely dared to hope that the remnants he'd hidden might be enough to save him. But if they were? If, by cheating and trickery, he managed to fight Amon to a draw? The Wei clan would practically have to support him. He would have proven himself the match of their star disciple in front of the entire Sacred Valley, and if they denied him training then, they would look like fools. He straightened his back, focusing on the hope of victory rather than the bleak chasm of probable defeat, and started to walk toward the stage. His sister grabbed him by the elbow, hauling him back.
Let me take your place, she whispered urgently. Say you aren't worthy of the honor, and you need a family member to replace you. They will allow it. Amon will push for it. And if I can beat him, no one will disrespect you like this again.
Lyndon gently extracted himself from Kelsa's grip.
This is for me?
The doubt was so plain on her face it might as well have been painted across her forehead.
What are you saying? Fighting children does not prepare you to face Wei Jin Amon.
Then something occurred to her, and she jerked away from him.
Wait. No. This is one of your... Lyndon, what have you done? What are you doing?
He jogged away from her, onto the stage, in order to avoid having to answer. When he hopped up onto the blocks of white stone, the audience cheered, looking forward to seeing him torn apart, he judged. He could only hope they would be disappointed. Lyndon pressed his fists together and bowed.
Wei Shi Lyndon is honored to accept your instruction, Cousin Amon.
Without returning the greeting, Wei Jin Amon spun his spear down, flipping it in a circle so that the shade silk wrapping slid off and drifted to the ground. He ended in a ready stance, half-turned and crouched with his spear angled forward and down.
You have one last chance, unsold, Amon said, his voice too low to carry.
His grandfather walked on stage between the two of them, his arms raised to quiet the crowd.
Courage can be cultivated by the weak and strong alike, and Wei Shi Lyndon has already demonstrated his courage today. Our clan honors courage, and when it is warranted, we also value humility. Young Lyndon, there is no dishonor if you remove yourself from the stage. Rather, we would respect your wisdom in deferring to your betters.
In Lyndon's place, no sacred artist would be able to refuse. He would lose too much face by contradicting his patriarch's words in public. This was a perfect strategy on Cyrus' part, cornering him between a physical threat and the looming reality of humiliation. He had left Lyndon only one honorable way out. He'd forgotten that Unsold had no honor to lose.
"The Patriarch's words are a privilege to hear," Lyndon said with another bow, "but the opportunity to learn from a disciple as skilled as Wei Jin Amon does not come often. This one would be a fool to pass it up."
Cyrus scowled even as the sky behind him darkened.
"Very well," he said, nodding to Amon.
A shadow passed over the sun even as purple foxfire flickered around the head of Amon's spear. Clouds gathered over the arena, slowly blackening as the Patriarch spoke.
"Assembled experts of Sacred Valley, I hope this exhibition proves pleasing to your..."
His words trailed off as he looked into the sky. Lyndon had assumed that the Patriarch had used his mastery of illusion to make the sky seem dark, perhaps in an attempt to intimidate Lyndon. He'd barely given it a thought. But Cyrus stared at the black clouds as though a gate to the netherworld had opened overhead.
"Amon,"
Cyrus began, but he was cut off by a voice that boomed through the arena, tearing the air apart with its sheer volume.
"Are you the Patriarch of the Wei Clan?"
The crowd shook under the voice, a few people screaming. Lyndon glimpsed one woman sprinting for the exit. That, more than anything else, convinced him that something was profoundly wrong. A man descended from the dark clouds like an angry messenger of the heavens. His whole being was defined by shades of black and white, from his black-veined white wings to his black and white striped hair. He wore black furs, and diamonds glistened everywhere he could fasten jewelry. His right hand rested on the hilt of a silver-chased sword, and his left hand clutched a rough sack. Dark stains spread slowly over the bottom of the sack, giving Lyndon a gruesome guess at its contents. But his most startling feature, even considering the enormous wings that spread from his back, was the badge that rested against his furs. It was made of solid gold. Lyndon found himself unable to take a breath, and only part of it could be attributed to the man's oppressive atmosphere. Here, descending from the sky, was a gold. A real gold, in the flesh, someone who had mastered the secrets of Madra beyond mortal dreams. The arena filled with a sound like muffled drums as everyone, from every school and clan, fell to their knees. Even Cyrus dropped to one knee, as was appropriate in the presence of a gold, but the sight of him kneeling struck Lyndon as wrong, like an eternal mountain suddenly swaying with the wind.
"This one's humble name is Wei Jin Cyrus, and he indeed has the honor to lead the Wei clan," Cyrus said. "May this one know the honored elder's name?"
The man of black and white landed before Cyrus, his wings extending to 15 feet on either side of the Patriarch. The shadow of his wings fell across Lyndon's face, and though Lyndon shivered, he didn't avert his eyes. Sudden though it was, this event was going to redefine the history of the Sacred Valley, and he couldn't miss it, no matter how the sight of a gold turned his guts to water. For a few seconds, the stranger stood over Cyrus, his golden badge the only color on his person. He finally spoke in a casual tone, though wind aura carried his voice to every ear in the arena.
"I am Li Markuth, Grand Patriarch of the Li Clan."
Cyrus' silver-maned head snapped up in shock. One breath later, Markuth's hand blurred, and a spray of blood slapped Lyndon in the face. He fell backwards, heart hammering, scraping warm and sticky blood away from his eyes. While he was blind, he couldn't fight the panic. He had to see, to know if the white-winged horror from the Li clan was coming for him next. The first sight to greet his eyes was the Patriarch's headless corpse collapsing to the stone, staining it red. Markuth had struck his head entirely off.
"The sins of the father pass to his sons, as the sins of the mother pass to her daughters," Li Markuth intoned, wiping blood from his fingers on his dark furs. "To pay for the evil of your clan's founder, every beating heart from every living Wei descendant would not be enough. So, I will settle for 2.
The Grand Patriarch spun around, thrusting his clawed hand into empty space. Slowly, Wei Jin Cyrus' body dissolved into foxfire. Even the blood on Lyndon's face flared with heat before dissipating, revealing itself as a forged dream. Light lurched, and the Patriarch appeared out of nowhere. His head was attached, but now his chest was impaled on the Grand Patriarch's fist. Cyrus tried to speak, but Lee Marcuth tore his hand back, clutching what must have been the other man's heart. Blood dripped from the Grand Patriarch's gore-soaked fist. Out of tricks, the Way Patriarch fell to the stage and died. Marcuth opened his fist, and a heart dropped on top of the corpse with a splat.
One heart. I will collect the other in time.
Black and white wings folded up behind the Grand Patriarch, trailing him like a leather cloak. A white and purple remnant began to peel itself from the Patriarch's corpse, but Marcuth crushed it beneath his heel, and the Madra dispersed. He looked straight at the box containing the elders from the clans and the guests from the four schools.
I believe in solving my problems directly. Let it be known that I intend to claim the whole of Sacred Valley as my personal territory. If there are any challengers, step forward now. All at once, if you please. I will not waste my entire night fighting every jade in the valley one at a time.
Marcuth lifted the bag that had been in his left hand since he'd descended, upending it over the stage. A pair of heads fell out, leaving a trail of blood as they rolled on the pale stone. He tossed the empty sack aside, but Lyndon's gaze was fixed. One of the heads belonged to a man he'd never seen before. He didn't care about that. He was focused on the other head, the second head, the one whose features were veiled in long hair. Long, brown hair. His body shivered uncontrollably, Madra racing through his veins in a pattern unrestrained by any cycling technique. He knew who that head belonged to. He didn't need to see the face. He knew. The world took on a feeling of unreality, as though he'd been struck by Kelsa's empty palm. It was too absurd. Just this morning he'd been preparing to fight a bunch of children, and now golds were descending from the sky? His mother was dead? It was stupid, that was what it was. Idiotic and ridiculous. The world didn't work like this. The world made sense. Only dreams operated without rules or reason, and even his insane dreams of singing flowers and dancing clouds held more logic than this. Jades began to gather at one end of the stage, old men and women from Kazan and Wei gathering together, mingling under both banners. They argued fiercely, none daring to walk up on stage, but they did gather. In ones and twos they hurried together, banding together to fight and die with pride. Not all the Jades joined them. Some stayed in the stands, on their knees. Marcuth laughed, shaking droplets of blood from his fingers.
Is this it, then? Don't hold back. Come up. I won't begin until you are ready.
Hatred boiled up in Lyndon, and he found himself wishing he could join the Jade Elders. Even a gold wasn't immortal. In fact, the idea illuminated his soul like a sunrise. Lee Marcuth might be even more dependent on his Madra than an ordinary person. If the legends were true, gold bodies were partially made of Madra, like a remnant. What would an empty palm do against such a being? Lyndon would die landing that blow, but that wasn't worth consideration. He'd grown up with stories of mythical heroes who were killed trading strikes with a blood rival. If he succeeded here, he would live on forever in the myths of the Wei clan. It would be a good death. An honorable death. The death of a sacred artist. If even the empty palm wasn't enough, Lyndon had one more card to play. The hornet remnants were still sealed in their jar beneath the stage, waiting for him to release them. If they could distract the gold for even a breath, even the fragment of an instant, Lyndon's life would be well spent. The sense of unreality crashed in on Lyndon once again, shattering his beautiful delusion. What was he thinking? Here he was, Wei Shi Lyndon the Unsold, considering throwing his life away in a battle against a gold. It was a bad joke, or the fanciful poem of someone with too much ego. He couldn't do anything. He would only die, with no plan or purpose whatsoever. He stared at the Lee clan monster, and his hopeful idea died. The truth settled on him like the fall of night. There was nothing he could do. No reason to try. He was too weak. Lee Marcuth spread his arms and his wings, and the sky darkened even further until night fell over Sacred Valley. The whole arena shook as he called on the vital aura of the world, the four white fox pillars crumbling to rubble. Only Marcuth shone in the darkness, his body outlined by white power.
The world is wide outside your narrow paths, he said, even as the crowd of jades prepared their techniques. Let me guide you.
The jade elders of the Wei and Kazan clans walked on stage in a solemn procession, summoning foxfire or forging bright red blades. They spread out in front of Markuth, some 40 or 50 of them, and from their faces, Lyndon knew they were each prepared to die. And in that moment, Lyndon decided to die with him. Maybe he was too weak, and his death would accomplish nothing. But it was better to bet on the tiny chance that he was wrong than to wait for death without even trying. When Lyndon stood up, Markuth didn't so much as move his eyes. It was as though anyone less than Jade didn't even exist to him. When the first ranks of Wei elders moved toward him with Madra readied, the Grand Patriarch condensed wind and shadow around each of his fists. Lyndon crept in front of him, still unnoticed. He didn't even glance down, paying Lyndon no more attention than he did the stones beneath his feet. The sky overhead flashed white. And Lyndon, ignored by the Grand Patriarch, landed an empty palm on Markuth's core. It was as though he'd splashed water on a boulder. Even legends never suggested that a foundation stage child could harm a gold. It was like a fly attacking a tiger. No, attacking a mountain. If everyone at the foundation stage in all of Sacred Valley joined hands and pooled their madra, they couldn't do so much as ruffle the clothes of the Grand Patriarch of the Lee clan. Lyndon should have known better. He should have remembered his place. His force vanished uselessly, and Markuth backhanded him in the midsection. Even in the end, he didn't give Lyndon a single glance. The casual slap of a gold struck hard enough to knock him backwards off the stage, but somehow it didn't hurt. He landed in the dirt, but the air had already vanished from his lungs. His mouth flapped open, trying to grab a breath, but it was as though the air had disappeared. He tried to sit up, but nothing happened. He remained on his back, his head shaking from side to side. Lyndon strained his eyes, looking down to see how bad his injuries were.
I'm still dreaming, he realized, when he didn't see his legs.
That was the only explanation. He'd been a fool to consider any of it real. Golds didn't descend from the sky. The patriarch couldn't bow. His mother didn't die for no reason, and his legs were supposed to be at the end of his body. It was comforting to know that he was dreaming. Soon he would wake up, and then everything would make sense again. In fact, he could feel exhaustion pressing down on him like a blanket. Maybe that was what waking up felt like in a dream. His head flopped to the left, and he caught a glimpse of his father and sister, kneeling like the rest. Kelsa's eyes were fixed on his, glistening with tears, her face pale. Why was she so sad? This was just a dream. She shouldn't worry so much. Jaran wasn't looking at him at all, but was fixed on the battle between Markuth and the Jades. He had to admit that hurt, even if it wasn't real. He let his eyes slide shut to hide the sight of his kneeling father. When he woke up, everything would be all right again. That was Lyndon's last thought before he died.